So did you learn anything, Watson?
Yeah, that you fight dirty.
I fight without mercy. A habit you should develop if you hope to defend yourself against bigger, stronger opponents. Which may occur unless we limit ourselves to investigating crimes committed by small children or large house cats. Hello, mistress. What? Hang up and dial 911. Ask that Captain Thomas Gregson be informed of the call. I'll be there shortly. Yes. Okay, hurry along, Watson. Dead body awaits.
Call came in around 10:30. New client looking for light CP and a little OTK.
Excuse me?
CP, corporal punishment, OTK over the knee, spanking.
He said the door would be unlocked. I walked in, and there he was.
He was like this when you got here?
He had on the mask. I gave him a few commands. He didn't respond. At first, I thought he was stubborn. Some slaves are like that. Then I whacked him with this. Still nothing. I took off the mask and saw that he was dead.
And that's when you called Holmes.
And you two know each other how?
Mistress Felicia and I got chatting over an exhibition of torture devices throughout history. Realized we had a few friends in common. We stayed in touch.
Okay, our victim's name is Titus Delancey. Apparently he lives here. And according to this, he's the CEO of APMG Financial Consulting.
I'll pay for a few spankings.
Miss Felicia, this is Detective Bell.
He'll be taking your statement.
Beyond Mistress Felicia's impending arrival causing this guy to get so excited that he had a heart attack, I don't think she killed him.
Statistically speaking, it would fit. Cardiac arrest, most common cause of death for men over 50.
No talcum powder.
Excuse me?
Putting on a latex garment like this is a bit like putting on a swimsuit that's two sizes too small and already wet. Talcum powder is generally de rigueur. Well, a man of Mr. Delancey's girth would not have been able to put on this suit without an assist.
So you're saying someone helped him into it?
Note the blue line around his lips.
Oh, met hemoglobinemia. His blood cells stopped holding oxygen. It's usually a sign of nitroglycerin overdose. Nitroglycerin is prescribed for heart problems. If he was on it, he may have overmedicated.
Well, if he's got meds, they're probably upstairs.
Prescription or not, accidental overdose is unlikely. Lethal dose for a man of his size would be, what, 8 to 10 tablets?
That's a lot to consume by mistake.
Bourbon. Perfect vehicle for masking nitroglycerin's odor.
Hey, that could be evidence.
Yes. I've left plenty of liquid for the lab to analyze. I'm quite confident they will confirm my findings.
What findings?
Fire in the hole! Nitroglycerin, definitely. That man was poisoned.
Because when your night ends with a dead guy in a kimp suit, why not start your morning with a live one holding a bullwhip?
A thank you gift from Mistress Felicia for assisting her. When I wasn't practicing this morning, I was pushing forward with our case. Detective Bell has spoken with Titus Delancey's wife. She and her two sons are preparing to move back from the family's vacation home in Bedford. She swears that to the best of her knowledge, her husband was not into S&M.
May I?
Yes, please.
She's probably telling the truth. I mean, we were all over that house, and there were no other signs of bondage here anywhere.
Which leads me to believe that the suit which Mr. Delancey was found in was brought there by the poisoner, and most likely recently purchased, given the shininess of the latex.
So you think that after the killer poisoned Titus Delancey, he shoved him into a brand new latex suit and left him to be found by a dominatrix? He didn't just want Delancey dead, he wanted him humiliated.
A distinct possibility, and answers are within our grasp. I have learned that that particular brand of suit is only sold in two sex shops in Manhattan. Happily for us, though, Sadly for submissives of size, one of those stores carries nothing bigger than a large, which means our victim's XXL suit was purchased at an establishment called the Pleasure Parlor.
Oh, I guess I know where we'll be heading this morning.
Excuse me. Detective Bell, NYPD, my colleagues and I are investigating the murder of a man found in a black latex bodysuit, size XXL. We believe was purchased here. We're hoping you can give us the names of customers who bought one in the past month.
Sure. Happy to help. Just as soon as you come back with a subpoena.
You heard the part about this being a murder investigation, right?
Your job is to solve crimes. Mine is to protect my customers' privacy from a police force eager to demonize the sexually adventurous.
Now, I suppose we shouldn't be surprised to find you on a moral high horse. You are wearing chaps.
Excuse me, is this your only rack of latex suits?
Yes.
We gotta figure that the killer touched all of these to find the right size, so since we can't get his name, we can at least get his fingerprints. We should just take the whole rack down to the station, dust for prints.
Excellent plan.
That's thousands of dollars of merchandise. You know you need a subpoena for those too, right?
I do. You guys call the captain. I'll wait here for the subpoena. Wearing my badge. Greeting customers.
The only extra, extra large sale this month was last night. About 9:30. I was here. Guy definitely wasn't shopping for himself. He was a medium at most.
Okay, we're gonna need his name.
I don't have it. He paid cash. But he got it from that ATM.
In case you're unsure what you're looking at, Mr. Jeffries, that's you at 9:38 last night. And unless your apartment looks just like a sex shop, you were not, as you claimed a few minutes ago, home watching TV.
I went for a walk. I forgot, but I stopped in there.
Apparently, it's not all you forgot. You bought a fetish suit and shoved your boss into it. Probably right after you poisoned him.
No, I did not. I did not poison Titus. I already told you that.
Hey, you're in a lot of trouble, Mr. Jeffries. We can't help you if you don't level with us.
Okay. I did buy the fetish suit, and I did put Titus in it. But I did not kill him. Titus and I were supposed to have dinner last night. I arrived at his house around 8:45. When he didn't answer the door, I went around back. The patio door was open, and I saw Titus in the living room lying on the floor. I went in, and when I got there, he was already dead. No pulse, no breathing. I just assumed he'd had a heart attack. I swear to you, I didn't know he'd been poisoned until I heard about it this morning on the news.
You had acquisitions at APMG, correct? So, with Titus gone, I'm sure you're in the running for CEO?
Yes, I am, but I didn't need for Titus to die in order for that to happen. A few weeks ago, when Titus announced that he was retiring at the end of the year, I was already on the short list to replace him.
Then why put the suit on? Why call the dominatrix?
Okay, Titus's contract guaranteed him a huge retirement payout. $125 million lump sum. If he dies, that money goes to his family. His contract also contained a morals clause.
So you dressed him up in bondage gear, set him up with a dominatrix, also that the company could save, giving him a retirement bonus?
That's $125 million extra in our coffers. The year-end bonuses would have been huge. Guys, okay, if the charge here is that I am a greedy jerk with really questionable judgment, then I'm guilty. But I swear to you, I'm not a murderer.
I just got off the phone with the lab. They confirmed the nitroglycerin in Titus Delancey's glass, but said the bottle of bourbon was clean.
Which means whoever poisoned him was in the room when he poured his drink.
The security guard at APMG puts Jeffries at the office till about 8 p.m., which, according to the ME, is when Delancey died.
So, Mr. Jeffries used his boss's corpse as a dress-up doll, but didn't kill him. Our poisoner is still at large.
I asked Delancey's wife to let me know when she and the boys got back to Riverdale. She said she'd be there in 20.
All right.
I talked to Titus yesterday afternoon. He didn't mention any plans for the evening.
And you and the boys stayed overnight in Bedford?
Yes. We have a house there. It was the nanny's night off. So the three of us just had a quiet evening at home.
Mr. Delancey, can you think of anyone that might have wanted to harm your husband?
I can't think of anyone specific, but Titus was a very successful man. That's not easy to pull off without making some enemies. Those poor
poor boys. They've been through this once already. Their mother died of cancer 5 years ago.
When did you and Mr. Delancey get married?
About 3 years ago.
Mary? Oh, God, I got here as quickly as I could. I'm so sorry. How are the boys? Struggling. Zach especially. This is our nanny, Ann Barker. This is Captain Gregson. He and his colleagues are here investigating what happened. So, Ann.
Barker?
Yes.
Yes, Sherlock Holmes.
Nice to meet you. I'm going to check on the boys. Okay. What's wrong?
A moment outside, please. Do you remember the Abigail Spencer case in the early 90s? 15-year-old Michigan girl. She was accused of fatally poisoning her father.
Yeah, it was a lot of the papers.
Yeah. Well, that also involved a nitroglycerin overdose. I followed the trial quite closely. I was fascinated by it. 15 years old myself at the time.
She was acquitted, right?
Yep. Many people continued to believe that she had indeed killed her father. She was scrutinized by the media. She was harassed. So one day she just packed up her stuff, disappeared, presumably start anew somewhere else. Never heard from again.
The woman we just met, the nanny.
She was introduced as Ann Barker, but I'm quite certain that her real name is Abigail Spencer.
For the record, your current legal name is Ann Barker.
But you were born Abigail Spencer. Correct?
Yes, I was born Abigail Spencer.
And back in 1991, you were accused of murdering your father with nitroglycerin.
Accused and acquitted.
A lot of people thought you got away with murder.
Really? I had no idea. Certainly not why I changed my name. Look, my dad was not a nice man, okay? He was cruel, and he beat me. So when he died, I didn't weep or wail or do any of those things teenage girls apparently do when their dad dies, so everyone assumed that I killed him.
Let's talk about Titus Delancey.
Okay.
You aware he was poisoned?
Yes, and to answer your next question, no, I didn't kill him.
Then why are you sounding so defensive?
Because I'm being interrogated by the police, so I feel like being defensive is sort of a natural reaction.
You don't find it the least bit coincidental
that he was killed with the exact poison that killed your father?
No, I find it extremely coincidental,
but I didn't do it.
Any idea who did?
I have no idea. Okay, I'm the nanny. He and I weren't close. We didn't spend a lot of time together.
Where were you last night?
Home, alone.
That's a lousy alibi, Abigail.
Yeah, well, if I knew I needed one, I would have invited somebody over. I keep to myself. I have ever since the trial.
Lost every friend you ever had, didn't you?
The ones who thought I was guilty were afraid of me. And the ones who knew I was innocent couldn't be around me without being in every paper in the country. The media ruined my life. And now it's about to happen all over again. Thanks to you. After I ran away, I got plastic surgery. No one has recognized me in 19 years. How did you do it?
Your voice. I just recognized it in the media coverage.
Look, I know you can't prove that I had anything to do with Mr. Delancey's death. If you could have, you would have arrested me back at the house. So, if you don't have any more questions, I would like to leave, please. I've spent enough of my life being accused of things I didn't do.
Doesn't feel right letting her go. I mean, you talk about a solid suspect.
She was right. We don't have enough evidence to hold her.
Yet. I didn't believe she did it.
You're the one who pointed her out.
Her presence at the Delancey home was too remarkable to ignore, but her haptics suggest she's telling the truth.
Titus Delancey was killed with nitroglycerin. So was her dad. That can't be a coincidence.
I agree. But I think the similarities are quite deliberate. I think whoever poisoned Mr. Delancey intends to frame Miss Spencer.
That would mean the killer knew who she was. She said no one had recognized her in 19 years.
As far as she knows.
So, you want to tell me how you knew about her tattoo?
Beg your pardon?
Abigail's tattoo. When you recognized her today, you said it was because of her voice, but I think it was something more than that. You fixated on the tattoo on her wrist. But at first I thought you remembered it from a picture that was taken during her trial. But then when I looked back at coverage, Abigail did not have a tattoo, so how could you have recognized it?
Impressive, Watson. Quite impressive. Yeah, the truth is that Abigail Spencer and I are old acquaintances, after a fashion. By the time I was 15, I was fascinated by murder and all things criminal. Abigail was so beautiful and her father's fortune so vast that the UK tabloids actually deigned to cover the case. Over time, they lost interest. I did not. I became fascinated by the question of her guilt. So, I wrote to her. A letter comprised of very direct questions about her life and her father's death.
Mm. So she wrote back?
Yeah, we corresponded throughout the trial and for a while afterwards. In one of her later missives, she mentioned that she wanted to get a tattoo of a phoenix on her wrist, a symbol of her rebirth after her ordeal.
Why didn't she recognize your name today? I mean, Sherlock Holmes is pretty hard to forget.
In my teenage years, I was a lot less self-assured than I am today. I yearned for a more typical name. So for a while, I attempted to be known as Sean Holmes. Didn't stick. But Sean and Abigail's correspondence became a very real window into the criminal mind.
Are you saying that she confessed to killing her father to you?
She never directly addressed the issue. And without knowing, she revealed details which I believe filled in the holes in the case against her. As for her relationship with her father, well, she shared some things which must have been quite humiliating for her. She left me in little doubt that he was indeed physically abusive and that she was responsible for his death.
Sounds like she really opened up to you.
She was an excellent research subject. She was very forthcoming, attributable primarily to her isolation at the time, and my promise that whatever she shared with me would be kept in the strictest confidence.
That doesn't sound like you at all. You're not telling anyone that you'd figured out that she was guilty?
Trial was over.
Double jeopardy protected her from a second, and I was quite confident that although she had killed, she was not a killer. She posed no threat to anyone other than her father.
Titus Delancey might disagree.
Well, as I told you, I don't believe Abigail's responsible.
You think she's being framed, but how can you be so sure? You're relying on a judgment you made when you were 15.
Well, when I made it, it's irrelevant. What matters is I was right. I believe that when I have identified the person who has uncovered Abigail's secret, we'll have our killer.
I don't know who let you in, but you're not allowed to be up here.
My name is Sherlock Holmes. I work with the police. We met yesterday.
Well, unless you have a warrant, I don't want to talk to you either.
You used to know me by another name. Sean Holmes.
I don't understand. You could have told me yesterday.
Well, I confessed to being a little thrown when I saw you. Also, I didn't know how to explain our relationship to my colleagues.
I never thought this would happen. I never thought I would meet you. I used to look forward to receiving your letters so much.
And by yours?
Perry fired me. I didn't even get to say goodbye to Graham or Zach. I'm sure you've seen my friends who are outside the building. You could have pulled me aside yesterday. You could have kept this between us.
I'm sorry for any turmoil I have caused you.
I suppose I should apologize, too. I'm the one who stopped writing. I'm the one who disappeared without saying goodbye.
I understood. You needed to leave Abigail behind, so the phoenix might rise.
I came here today because I don't believe that you killed Titus Delancey.
Nor do I think it's a coincidence that he was poisoned with the same agent used to kill your father. I think someone is taking advantage of your proximity to the man to get away with murder.
You think someone's setting me up?
Has anyone you know asked any prying questions, taken an excessive interest in your past?
No one.
Something? Anything?
Last month, I was running errands for Perry, and I kept seeing the same brown sedan in the rearview mirror.
Following you?
I don't know. I took down the license plate number in my phone, just in case it ever happened again, but it never did.
I should pass this along to my colleagues.
That's it? You show up after all these years and then you just leave?
This might be important.
I don't have anyone I can talk to. I can't leave my apartment without the press eating me alive. The letters that you used to write me got me through times like these, and now you're here. Really use a friend right now.
Hey.
Hey. So, we got a hit on that license plate Holmes gave us.
Abigail was being tailed by a private investigator out of Trenton. We just talked to the guy. Turns out he was hired by none other than Perry DeLancey, our victim's wife.
And according to the PI, Perry was hoping Titus was having an affair. It seems that in her prenup, she was limited to a very small amount in the event of a divorce, unless she caught him cheating. So she has the PI check out all the women in her husband's life.
Including Abigail.
And the thing is, Titus wasn't sleeping with anyone, which put a damper on Perry's divorce plans. But in the process, the PI uncovered Abigail's true identity.
The investigator turned over his report a full 2 weeks ago. She doesn't tell anyone. She doesn't fire Abigail. She just keeps letting a suspected poisoner make sandwiches for her stepkids.
Perry told us she was at the Bedford house with the boys the other night, but once we spoke to them on their own, they said they were watching TV in their rooms. It wouldn't have been hard for her to sneak out, poison Titus, and make it back before anyone noticed.
So it looks like Sherlock was right. Abigail was being framed.
My client is ready to make a statement.
The night Titus died, I met Dr. Philip Malone at the Campbell Bar in Mount Kisco at 7 p.m. Several members of the staff can confirm that I was there most of the evening.
You and Dr. Malone having an affair? Because if that's the case, you didn't need to bring a lawyer with you.
That's not it.
As you would eventually discover, Dr. Malone has a prior arrest for illegal distribution of prescription meds.
My client is happy to testify against Dr. Malone if you'll agree not to bring charges against her in the death of her husband.
Well, if your client has a solid alibi, what would we charge her with?
We'd like to avoid an attempted murder charge.
Mrs. DeLancey, what medication did you purchase from Dr. Malone? Nitroglycerin, which you were planning to use to kill your husband. I was considering it. I figured if I went through with it, I could call in an anonymous tip. Tell the police about who Anne really was, and she'd get the blame. But to be clear, it was just something I thought about. I don't think I ever could have actually hurt Titus.
So, your client's statement is that she couldn't have killed her husband because she was too busy planning to kill her husband.
First time in my career, someone's alibi for murder has been that they were busy planning the same murder. It wasn't so frustrating. It would be interesting.
Well, it worked out for Perry DeLancey. 6 months on drug charges beats life in prison. Why did you add a photograph of the two DeLancey kids?
Only one of them is a suspect. Short while ago, I obtained a copy of Mr. DeLancey's estate plan. Now that he's dead, a large part of his fortune goes into trusts for his sons. Millions of dollars they will be able to access as soon as they're 18. That's only 1 year away for Graham. Also, the young man no longer has an alibi. Perry DeLancey has admitted she wasn't actually with the boys that evening, so Graham himself could easily have snuck back home.
Well, there's no evidence that he knew about Abigail's history as a poisoner.
The very topic I plan to discuss when I confront him tomorrow.
Isn't tomorrow Titus DeLancey's memorial service?
Precisely.
You heard what you just said, right? Planning to harass a teenage boy while he's mourning his father?
He's the poisoner. He won't really be in mourning, will he?
You know the police think that Abigail is their best suspect.
I do. As I told you, I do not share their suspicions.
That's because you were in love with her.
What?
Back when you were a kid, when you were writing her, you fell in love with her. You spent almost 3 hours at her house today, and in spite of what happened with Perry DeLancey, no one thinks she's being framed except for you.
I was quite young when my father shipped me off to boarding school, right? I struggled. I was different to my classmates. I was, I was more intelligent, although I was brash, so they tormented me mercilessly.
Yes, I remember you saying once that you had been bullied, but I wasn't sure if you were telling the truth.
It happened. I overcame it. It was a different time back then. There was no such thing as harassment via text or circulation of cruel cell phone videos. No, my bullies had one tool at their disposal, violence. So I was beaten fairly savagely and with great frequency.
That's when you started writing Abigail. She was being abused, and so were you.
I meant what I said before. My interest in her was academic. She was to be a subject of study, nothing more. I confess, as our correspondence continued, I grew more anticipatory of her letters. They were a welcome distraction from my life. They were an oasis from school.
Well, it certainly sounds like you have feelings for her.
Perhaps, but nothing so mundane as love. I was adrift back then. I had no purpose. My so-called peers made me feel that might always be the case. Abigail, she gave me a gift. A view inside a mind capable of murder.
So she was your first?
Killer, yeah. Without intending to, she helped me understand who I was. Yeah? And what I might do with my life.
You never told her you thought she was guilty, did you?
I didn't want her to stop writing. I didn't think she'd be a threat to anyone else. There's no point.
I get that. But if she killed Titus DeLancey, then she's got...
Yeah, she'll be handed over to the police and she'll be punished. But for now, I'd like to try to help her.
Graham. Hi. I'm Joan. This is Sherlock. We met the other day.
You're the people that took Anne away. Of course I remember you.
How are you and Zach holding up?
Past 2 days, our dad was murdered, our nanny was accused of the crime, and our stepmom confessed to thinking about killing him. We're great.
I know it's a lot.
Zach's pretty mixed up. Especially about Perry. He liked her a lot more than I did. But our Aunt Susan's here now. She's great. She's taking care of us.
Were you aware that your father's will leaves you and your brother a substantial amount of money?
Yeah, I guess. Never really thought about it. Why?
Financial gain has motivated many a murderous endeavor.
Wait a second. Are you saying you think I killed my dad?
Your stepmother's confession has weakened your alibi. We know that she left your home in Bedford the night of the murder. Your brother was in his room watching television. It would have been easy enough for you.
No! No way! Everyone knows it was Anne or Abigail, whatever her name is. She did it. It's all in the papers.
Do you have any notion as to why she would have murdered your father? Unlike you, she had nothing to gain.
No, but she and my dad had issues.
We haven't heard that from anyone else.
All I know is they got in a big argument just last week, and I can prove it. Zach had learned this new parkour move, and he wanted me to film him, and then I realized my dad was going off on Abigail in the hallway. I got it all on my phone.
Where did you get this?
Gwen. Police technicians were able to enhance the audio so we could discern some of what Titus was saying. As far as we can make out, someone had attempted to access his tablet without his permission, and he was upset about it.
He was crazy that day. He thought I'd tried to steal it or something.
Had you?
No. Of course not.
You should know that as we speak, the police are attempting to locate his tablet at the DeLancey home. They're hopeful that it will shed some light on the investigation.
Why would it?
It's been theorized that Titus uncovered your secret. that he had evidence of it on his tablet and that he was using that against you. You're a beautiful woman, he was in a bad marriage. Perhaps he prevailed on you for other services.
That's not true.
It was rather a heated argument. And frankly, I'm curious as to why you never mentioned it before.
I forgot about it. Titus apologized. He said he overreacted. It wasn't a big deal.
You understand that I'm trying to help you, and I can't do that unless you're completely honest with me.
Of course I'm being honest. I've always been honest with you.
Well, we both know that's not true.
What are you talking about?
I know that you poisoned your father, Abigail.
Why are you saying that? You said that you believed me.
I avoided the subject whenever possible.
Not all the time. You said you believed me.
In a letter dated September 91, you mentioned the passing of a beloved neighbor, heart condition. You often ran errands for her. She was the unwitting supplier of the nitroglycerin that you used to poison your father, was she not? January 92, you wrote that you were with a classmate at the time of his death. But in the trial, you said that you went to the store. Shall I go on? Because I can. I know the truth, Abigail. I've known for 22 years.
Get out.
Abigail.
Get out.
Hey. The guys are striking out here. I mean, there's no sign of Delancey's tablet. What about you?
I don't know. I might have something. Looks like someone tried to pry this drawer open.
Other than you.
Give me some credit. I used to be a surgeon. I would never leave a mess like this.
Well, why would someone lock an empty drawer?
Have it. We know from the video that he was angry because he thought that Abigail had gotten a hold of his tablet, right? So if this is where he kept it, and if there was sensitive information about her past on it, maybe these scratches made him suspicious.
You know, my ex used to keep her tablet in a case that looked just like a book. Maybe it's on one of these shelves.
Five air vents in this room.
In the capital of Michigan is Lansing. You know you're starting to sound like your partner.
Well, don't you think it's odd? I mean, the room is not that big, right? There's usually one vent for intake, and then maybe one or two to blow cold air. Five is definitely overkill.
How do you know that?
My uncle was a contractor. Hey, check this out. This is an event. It's just supposed to look like one.
Watson, I'm en route. I will be at the Delancey home shortly.
You can turn around. We found the tablet.
Was there evidence you knew about Abigail?
No. But I think you were right last night. I think maybe Graham did kill his father.
What did you find?
Videos of Titus with Graham. He was sexually abusing him.
Miss Moore? Mm-hmm. Tom Gregson? Appreciate you bringing your nephew in to talk to us.
Marcia Whitman, I represent the family.
How do you do? This is Miss Watson, Mr. Holmes, a consult for the department.
They're the ones who harassed Graham after the service yesterday.
We apologize for any violation of decorum, but as it turns out, it was absolutely necessary. If we hadn't spoken, we may very well have never learned the truth.
You recognize that, right?
It's my dad's. Where'd you get that?
It was hidden in your father's office. You tried to take it out of his desk last week, not Abigail.
Maybe you were thinking about turning him in?
Well, maybe you were thinking about stopping him from hurting your little brother, too.
What do you mean, hurting? Graham, what's he talking about?
Nothing.
It's okay, Graham. You can tell us the truth now. I don't understand. Are they saying that...
I don't want to talk with you about this.
Graham?
No! I want you to leave, both of you, now.
I can't allow you
to... I don't care! Just leave, now!
Mr. DeLancey is 17. He is within his rights to talk to us alone.
What's on there doesn't prove anything.
What it proves is that your dad was a monster. And it certainly suggests that you have a very understandable motive for wanting him dead.
You knew about Abigail's past. That's why you used nitroglycerin.
It's not true.
This is a report prepared for your stepmother by a private investigator she'd hired to look into your father. These are your fingerprints. Abigail's whole story is in that file.
A story which independently inspired you and your stepmother to conceive the same plan. It seems that killing your father and framing Abigail was an idea whose time had come.
Only you beat Perry to the punch. You procured some nitroglycerin illegally online, if I had to guess. A few tablets in your father's bourbon, and it was done. I doubt very much that you relish what your plan means for Abigail, but compared to the hell that your life had become, to the idea that your secret would get out, to the idea that it could happen all over again to Zach, it must have felt like you had little choice.
Excuse me. I'm looking for Graham DeLancey. His little brother just called me in tears saying the police came and took him away.
Yeah, Graham is in with the captain right now.
Why?
Well, I'm afraid I really can't discuss...
You saw Graham almost every day. Did you have any idea what was going on?
Once more, please.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I don't mourn your father's death, not for a moment. But Abigail loves you. Like you were one of her own. And I know you care about her. You should stay silent. You should go to prison. She really deserve it? For something that she didn't do?
Graham, you can help her. And we can help you. You just need to tell us the truth.
I need a few minutes alone with my client. Now.
What the hell's going on?
Abigail Spencer came in. She ran into Graham's aunt and lawyer in the hall.
And they told Abigail about Graham's father.
Next thing I know, Abigail wants to make a confession. She says she's the one who poisoned Titus DeLancey. Crawford and Gleason are in interrogation talking to her now.
She said why she did it.
According to her, Titus uncovered a real identity a few weeks ago. He was using it to try to extort sexual favors.
The district attorney will not pursue a case against Graham without a confession, which he's unlikely to give us now that you have confessed to killing his father. Why'd you do it?
Kill Titus? I heard you explain that.
No, why did you confess to a murder that you didn't commit?
I am a murderer. You said so yourself. You were right.
Graham poisoned his father. You and I both know that.
Graham is an amazing kid. And he has his whole life ahead of him. He shouldn't be in prison. There's no doubt in my mind that I did the right thing. By killing Titus DeLancey.
You know, you don't even need to do this. We have proof of what Titus did to Graham. He committed murder under mitigating circumstances. It's unlikely he will serve more than 18 months.
18 months? That's about the amount of time you and I wrote letters to each other. Felt like a lifetime, didn't it?
especially when you're branded the kid who killed your dad. And Graham deserves better than that.
You're innocent.
Innocent. He was being brutalized right in front of me. And I should have seen it. And I should have stopped it. Sooner. Ted has got what's coming to him. Now so am I. Finally.
Thank you for agreeing to speak with me.
My school is near here. My aunt thought it was too soon for me to go back, but I don't know. I'm tired of being at home.
Abigail's confession aside, you and I both know the truth. I'm going to be watching you. And if you resort to those extreme tactics again in the future, I'm going to make sure you're brought to justice. Is that clear? Have you spoken with anyone about what happened to you?
My Aunt Susan tried to ask me some questions last night, but it happened. It's over. Talking about it won't change anything.
You're wrong. I have never known a betrayal as profound as what you've experienced. But I do know that being victimized is... it's corrosive. And sometimes talking about it, that can help. So you ever want to talk about it with someone who knows the story in its entirety? I'm at your disposal.
Got our wires all crossed. Tubes are all tied. And I'm straining to remember.